I'm Lance Schilling with Behind the Pump Podcast. And on this episode of the podcast, we're going to talk to Ashley Kaltwasser, who's three-time Miss Olympia for bikini and an incredible person to talk to. She's got tons of dedication when it comes to this sport and says some of the funniest things you could ever hear. I had a great time on this podcast, and you will really enjoy getting to see a side of Ashley that you've never seen before. So sit back, enjoy, and check out this podcast with Miss Olympia, Ashley Kaltwasser. So Ashley, how does a girl from Ohio go from living in Akron, Ohio, all the way to now being at, you know, Miss Olympia, three-time Miss Olympia winner, living in the big, you know, big state of California? Like, how does that even happen?
Yeah, it's Akron, Ohio, actually. But yeah, Akron, Ohio. Well, I love it there, but it's not a very motivating environment for me. I think, you know, the sunshine does us all pretty good. And just like the environment, like people out here hustling and like things are happening and you go outside and like people are, you can just like feel the energy, if that makes sense. Whereas in Akron, it's more of a residential area. Where I'm at now is extremely urban. I don't even have a car here. I can drive, I just don't have a car, because I walk everywhere, which is great for me because I love walking. I walk to the bank, walk to the store, walk to get my nails done, whatever it may be. I'm always walking, which is a plus.
Yeah. Well, they say sitting is the new smoking, so walking is awesome. You know, like I live in Texas, so whenever someone's like, hey, come over to my house, it's always like a 30-minute drive, which isn't that big of a deal. So we all have cars, you know. It's couldn't imagine like not having that bill, but you know, you guys have figured it out.
Yes, it's very convenient here, very pedestrian friendly. I actually live on the Star Walk, so like it's a lot of tourists, but a lot of things to get to easily. And if I do need to go somewhere like a photo shoot or something, I'll just take an Uber.
Yeah, I find myself taking Ubers all the time just because it's like so much easier, especially if you're going out to dinner. You don't even have to valet your car. You just get dropped off. I always act like it's like my chauffeur, you know, I'll like talk to him, be like, don't forget 9:30, Pierre, you know, and act like I'm something special. They're like, man, he's got his own driver. I'm like, yeah, I do. As soon as I call, he comes.
You better be getting the Uber Black, making the car extra fancy.
Yeah, well, me and my chauffeur are on a budget, all right? I don't know how it is in California, but, you know, here in Texas, we live on budgets, you know? Behind the Pump isn't making millions yet. Yet.
Yes.
But we're pushing for that.
On the way.
You know, I was really so excited that I was going to get to see you at the Arnold this year, and then everything just, like, shut down. It was the wildest thing being at that show and having no one there.
Yeah, it was crazy. I wasn't going to go anyway because of my eye surgery. I was initially planning on competing at the show, but I had eye surgery in January, late January, January 31st. And I was, you know, kind of planning how my prep would go. And I guess I didn't realize the extent of my recovery and how much it would hinder my progress. So, I had to drop out of the show, but it's kind of like, oh, man, I wish I could have done that show because that's like, that would have been the last show for a while. So,
yes.
But, you know, but it was crazy, right, to kind of see it all unfold. And then all of a sudden it got canceled for a lot of the spectators. It's crazy. But you know what? That was the first of many cancellations. And wow. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. It's like we're living in a movie or something.
It really is. You know what's crazy to me too is how quickly people have just completely changed, like who they are and how they act, how they treat others, you know, to the point where I was holding the door open for a guy, and as he's walking out and we're going to, like, you know, it's like a tool store. So, you know, it's all like manly men getting tools in Texas. And this guy walks out and I'm holding the door for him and he goes, excuse me, 6 foot, sir. And I said, no, I'm 5'9", bro. What are you, 6 foot? Get out of here, man. You manly plumber guy.
That was a good comeback.
I'm telling you, hey, you know what? The more someone like insults me, the faster my comebacks are. It's a unique ability, you know?
Oh yeah. I definitely feel that. I mean, people do get rude, and I think people are getting a little overly cautious, like that 6 foot, like how he explained that to you. But you'll find that, like, if I, like, for example, if I post like a photo on a beach that was taken like 6 months ago, I'll get like, how irresponsible of you. You're at the beach. And it's like, it's a throwback. Chill. Like,
yes. You know, I'm going to let you in on a secret though. Okay. So I am a rebel, like to the heart, rebel. Like I do what I'm going to do. So I've been working out at the gym every single day,
mm-hmm.
like the real gym.
That's awesome. Right.
I know. It's funny. So whenever I post pictures, people are like, oh my gosh, can't believe you're working out in a gym. I'm like, that happened today, buddy. Believe it.
I'm legit jealous.
Yeah. Well, you know what? Come to Texas whenever you're allowed to fly places and we'll get something done, you know?
Yeah.
So, so I got to ask you about something. You and I have something in common, I found out.
Okay.
All right. And it's a pretty important thing. IHOP, your love for IHOP pancakes, right? The red velvet pancakes.
I don't think I've had those. You got the right.
Really? I literally read something about you that was talking about your love for those pancakes. I was like, what? Oh my gosh. So IHOP is actually even, huh?
I don't know. Do you get the right person? I don't know if I ever mentioned that. Was that like an interview from years ago?
Yeah, I think it was.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. Maybe
that, you know what? I used to go to IHOP when I was in Ohio. But
they don't have IHOP in.
Thing at the time. I haven't had it in years, though. I haven't. But those were some good pancakes. I think my new tree has moved on to more like brownies. But, you know, I will still always have a love for pancakes.
So you've left the pancakes for brownies.
I left my pancakes behind in Ohio.
Oh, wow. Wow. Well, you know what? I'll check that off my list. And be like, we don't have that in common anymore. No more pancake love. Here I was going to be like, hey, no, next interview we do at IHOP.
But that's guess not I'll impressive have to... that was, you caught me on something that I forgot about. So
yeah,
that's well, good. I'm... That's good journalism right there. That's awesome.
Yeah. Well, you know what? It's you've had a long career, so you've done a lot of interviews, obviously, and all the way from, you know, your first pro show here in Texas at the Houston Pro, you know?
Yes.
Yeah, you like that one too?
Yeah.
You know, one thing.
I'm really impressed.
One thing I thought was really cool about you too is that gave me a lot of respect for you is looking up your contest history from your amateur all the way through. And there was a lot of times, especially in your amateur career, that you really didn't place like as well as you would think. And to see you within like 2 years go from like placing 14th at a show to then becoming Miss Olympia. Like, that's a wild, quick thing.
Yes, I know. A lot of people just think I sprung up and was successful. That's not the case. It took me a little bit to figure it out. And the best example I can give is the 14th place you probably saw at the Arnold Amateur. Yeah, I bleached my hair blonde. I wore this white suit that I got at, like, Target. I did my own tan, like... I didn't know how to pose. I was too skinny. Yeah, I didn't have it figured out. But I took that after I got 14th, I really studied and I improved and I worked so hard on my physique and posing and all those little minute details, changed my suit. And then 1 year later, I won the entire Arnold Amateur overall. It was crazy. So it's kind of like, you know, from being 14th in your height class, to the following year, I won the whole thing, which was a super special win to me because it was in my home state of Ohio and it was such a big deal. You know, the Arnold, it's crazy.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of international competitors. And I was like, wow, I'm here with all these people from around the world. I had to drive 2 hours, but it was like so crazy to me. And that's where I adopted my green suit, which I kind of keep with that green theme now. But yeah, not only do people don't realize that not only is it like physique, you know, and posing, but those little details, probably more so in bikini than anything else, like the hair, the nails, the suit, the makeup, you know, you kind of have to become a master of your craft and really learn these things and really educate yourself on those little minute details.
No, I completely agree. And, you know, you did not have the benefit of having so many years of competition behind you to look back on, right? Like, you're one of the pioneers. You're coming up, you know, in the first couple of years of bikini. So, you know, like, back then, everything was different. Posing was different. There weren't, like, bikini posing coaches everywhere. You know, like, the doing your own tan, my first show, I went to a spray tan place and just got, like, a real dark spray tan, like a Versa. And then I showed up at the show, and I was like, so I had to do my own roll-on tan, too, you know? But it's those experiences, I think, that are so cool, you know, that can help you relate to, especially like even a young competitor, even somebody just in general, whether it's doing a show or starting a business, it's like, look, you're probably going to do this wrong in the beginning. Okay. But the better, you know, the more you keep doing it, you're going to get better. And here you go from 14th place to the next year winning the overall. Mm-hmm. You know, I thought that was really unique.
Yeah, that is something that a lot of people don't realize. It's definitely a progress, and heck, even as a pro, I'm still learning. I look back at each show I do, and then I'm like, okay, I can fix this a little bit, could work a little harder on this. So it's like always a work in progress. And no one has ever reached the point where they can't improve on anything. So I'm constantly learning myself, but I do have better knowledge of what, you know, they're looking for these days, obviously, than when I first stepped on stage. But I think that's a good point to make, that, you know, sometimes these amateur competitors that's never competed before expect so much. They expect, right. Yeah, I'm going to win this show, and then I'm going to win the next one, and then I'm going to turn pro, and then I'm going to go Olympia, and then I'm going to win the Olympia. And it's like, oh, it doesn't work like that.
Definitely no.
It's little baby steps.
Well, and especially in bikini, you know what I mean? In bikini, it's such a fickle little beast where, you, like you said, it has to come down to the tiniest things, because, you know, you take the Arnold that was just happened. You've got like Issa up there with Angelica, and I mean, and everybody else on the stage, they just looked incredible. Like, how do you really say like she's better than her? I mean, especially at that level. So it comes down, like you said, like your stage confidence. What does your posing look like? Does your suit look good? Did you do your own tan? You know, like, all these things that matter at that level. You know, like at the amateur level, people are like, oh my God, it's because I wore a blue suit. And you're like, it's not because you wore a blue suit. You know, like, it's not because that. You know, if you'd worn a red suit, you'd been a place the same.
Yeah. Yep. I find that a lot. There's always like, you know, it's kind of like human nature to kind of make excuses for yourself. But, you know, I think it takes a special person to sit back and analyze themselves, get expert opinions from people that, you know what they're talking about, because everyone's family members and everyone's friends are going to say, you should have won, no matter how you look. So you kind of have to be smart about this and pick where you're getting your feedback from.
Right. Well, and you're going to lose more shows than you win. That's just like, this is one of those few sports, you know, like in boxing, you can have a guy who's undefeated most of his career and maybe loses one, and you can have a bunch of people like that. But in the world of competing, I mean, it just is not that way, and you're constantly having to change. So, you know, another funny thing I wanted to ask you, okay, being that you're Ashley Kaltwasser, you know, like fitness icon, Miss Olympia, what kind of things that, like, is there anything that ever happens to you in the gym? Do people come up and bug you? Do they know who you are most of the time? You know, like, what are some of the things you have to deal with?
Actually, no. No one talks to me in the gym. No one. And, I mean, I go into the gym, like, if it's in the morning, I'll go literally in my pajamas, no makeup, no hair, just rolled out of bed type look. I don't even think I'm recognizable at that point. But I don't know. I think I give off the vibe of, like, don't talk to me. I don't know. I really feel like that sometimes because, you know, I do have friends that does happen to a lot, but it doesn't happen to me. People don't bug me. People don't talk to me. So I don't know. Maybe I'm giving off a vibe. Like, don't talk. I don't know.
I need to figure out what that vibe is. I need to figure out what that vibe is, because, you know, girls always complain about guys coming up to hit on them or talk to them. And I'm like, I deal with the same thing. Some dude will always walk up and say something like, hey, man, you know, I used to be in a lot better shape than I am now. I'll be like, right on, man. Like, thank you for telling me that, you know, like, okay. And, you know, back to doing whatever I was doing.
Oh, yeah. Or maybe you know, even like an older person that will go up to you and be like, I look just like you when I was younger. Then you're like, oh, really? What, did you play any sports? What? No, I mean, I played mini golf on the weekends, but and then you're like,
yeah.
Really?
Well, then you're like, really? That's awesome. You should show me a picture of that. I'd love to see that. And then they're like, oh, they all burned up in a fire. A long time. Every picture. You know, I have people say it, they'll be like, man, I used to look just like you. And, you know, whenever I'm in shape, I mean, I'm in shape. I've always been, you know, an athlete. And the odds of you probably looking like me are probably slim, unless you're a competitive, like, national level or pro bodybuilder. And so I'll be like, oh, really? They'll be like, yeah, I looked like you when I played, you know, O-line in high school. And you're like, doubtful. You know,
yeah,
I feel like where you...
But it's like you can never say it because you come across as rude. But you're in your mind, you're thinking, yeah, no.
Or they ask you, they're like, so what kind of protein drinks do you have? And I'm like, you know, honestly, I think the reason why I don't have a supplement sponsor is because I don't use protein. I use, like, food, you know? It's... Mm-hmm. If that's what you're coming to ask me, what kind of protein drinks got me buff? We are not ready to talk yet. You know, like, just not ready to talk. All right, move on to something different.
Yeah.
You know, but I feel like where you girl, you ladies always get, you know, like, for us, it's like in the gym, we're like pushing weights and people come and talk to us. For y'all, I feel like y'all get caught on the cardio machines, like where you have to be stationary, right? Does that ever happen to you?
Well, I mean, yeah. So I'll get my biggest pet peeve is that when you're, you know, doing your thing on cardio, maybe you're at the far left to the cardio equipment, and then there's like 10 identical machines to your right, but someone, and it's equal with men and women, I can never figure this out. Somebody please tell me why people do this. They choose the one that's like legit right next to you, and you're like, why? Like, I don't want to hear you breathing. I don't want to smell your sweat. Like, if you're shuffling on the treadmill sideways, like, I have to look at your face. It's like, it's weird. I don't know. It's really weird. I can't figure that out. Like, people don't respect space and they get super close to you. I hate that. I'm just like, I don't know why. I don't know. I mean, you could make the argument that, like, people are trying to get next to you to run at your pace to get motivated. But it's like, hey, you didn't ask for me. Like, hey, I'm not here to, like, be your, what would you call it, a race rabbit or something. Like,
yeah,
I didn't
race rabbit. I'm gonna steal that. That was a good one. Race rabbit. I love that.
Yeah.
You know, see, like, you know, it's funny you say that because guys, we deal with this on a different level. Okay.
The pee so places. The
yes. There will be 10 urinals, and they will come right next to you, and they always, like, when they do, it's like this. What's up, bro? And you're like, dude.
Oh my God.
Hey, by the way, did you notice I dressed up for you today?
You did. Oh, wow. You got a tie? Wow.
I have not dressed up since the Arnold, okay? And I dressed up for you today.
Oh, wow. And I bet you're wearing, like, shorts, plaid shorts under, like, your pants.
So I knew if I said that you would ask that, so I, on purpose.
Oh, pants. Nice.
Pants?
Well, I know I'm wearing pajamas. See?
Dress shoes?
Pajamas.
Well, you got to keep it comfy while in quarantine, right?
Exactly.
Those look like comfy pajamas.
Yes.
So, like, when it comes to your clothing, okay, do you find yourself usually in, like, yoga pants, skirts, shorts, jeans? Like, what would you say that you would be most, like, likely to be seen out in?
Well, I would say 99.99% of the time I'm wearing athleisure or yoga pants, something like that. I rarely dress up these days to go out. Like, if I do, it's for, like, an event. But those are very rare nowadays. Jeans, never. Oh, my God. I can't even remember the last time I wore jeans. Probably middle school. I hate jeans. They're so uncomfy. Oh, I don't know why anybody would wear jeans. I just don't get it. I hate them. I hate them so much. I'll rather wear a dress or something else than jeans. It's just like so uncomfy. My middle name is Jean, though, which is ironic, but I hate jeans.
So did you get it worn out, like growing up you heard Jean too much, so you just didn't like it? I mean, because there's a saying in Texas, okay, and this is why I'm bringing this up, this is kind of serious, okay? It's a serious thing in Texas. We have a saying, it's cowboy butts drive the Wrangler butts drive the cowgirls nuts, okay? Because like the jeans that people wear, you know, are Wranglers. Uh-huh. So I guess for you it's a different thing where they drive you nuts to wear them. All right.
They do. They're very uncomfortable. They're so tight.
You're wearing the wrong jeans. Oh my gosh, you're wearing the wrong jean. You're wearing the wrong jeans.
I don't know. And then there's that buckle part. It's just, I don't know. It's too much. Just,
oh my gosh. We have big
belt buckles. Have you ever tried yoga pants, though? That's my question to you. Because if you ever tried yoga pants, you won't wear jeans anymore.
All right, so I'm gonna have to, when we get off this call, I'm gonna send you this video. I did an ad for these yoga pants, and it's pretty good. So okay. I train like bikini girls. That's all I work with. That's my specialty. So I in turn have a good butt for a guy, you know? Okay. And so in this ad, they start from like, you know, right at the bottom of my shin and slowly go up. I'm doing like the over the shoulder booty pose that girls do. It's like leg, 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 leg. And then you see like a really nice booty and then it quickly pans up to my face. And all these, they used it as an ad. It was really successful. And all these people were like, oh my God, I thought that was a girl the whole time.
Oh man.
It was pretty funny. So I have worn yoga pants before.
And you don't think they're more comfortable than jeans?
All right. So I would say they're very comfortable. Okay. But these particular ones, I wore like a triple XL and they were still really tight, so it was a little awful for me, but they were females. Okay. I don't know, you know what's funny you say that, like I wear cowboy boots all of the time. Mm-hmm. And people might think they're uncomfortable, but something about when you're in like a good pair of like jeans and boots, it just like, I don't know, it just does something. You're like, yeah, today's gonna be a good day.
I kind of could see that, and I'm sure you feel like a badass like wearing cowboy boots and jeans, like, you know?
I did not feel like a badass wearing women's yoga pants, though. I'll say that.
Okay. Fair statement.
So whenever you go out to eat, you know, I've also, some of the things I'd read about you, too, is that you really believe in cheat meals pretty often, other than like 3 weeks out of a show. But that you do not eat seafood.
Yeah. So, I think maybe those things you're reading were from a long time ago. I'm a more competitive person now, but I'm not a big cheat meal person these days. I'm more of a sneaky snacker or a grazer. I will graze in the kitchen and just, you know, nibble here, nibble there, and have a little variety going on.
What's your go-to to nibble on?
Oh gosh, let's see. Like protein chips, little cubes of cheese, beef jerky, cashews. I love cashews, macadamia nuts. Don't even get a jar of peanut butter near me. I will lick that thing all day. So I like do it like throughout the day. I prefer that more than a big cheat meal because I hate the feeling of being like bloated and full. But I used to do cheat meals. I used to, but now I'm like more competitive, I guess. So I don't do that quite as often as I used to, although I do them every once in a while. But yeah, you're right. Seafood has never been on the plate for me, not in my prep. I think, honestly, I was traumatized in grade school. Like the fish stick Tuesday, like it smelled so bad in the cafeteria. I couldn't even eat my own food and I would like gag while I'm eating.
It's cafeteria food, though. Nothing they ever made was good. Nothing.
I mean, I never even tried it. I just smelt it and I couldn't. And then, you know, I tried probably back in like 2012 to eat it again. And I would have the littlest, like, okay, maybe it was just like a thing when I was a kid. And I had like the littlest piece of a whitefish. And I'm like, ugh, you know? And then all my friends are like, no, Ashley, you're trying the wrong fish. Try this sushi. Like, you will never taste it. I promise it tastes like chicken. And then I take like a little like lick
it of it. It doesn't taste like chicken. They lied. They lied. None of it tastes like chicken. It's fish.
Yeah, it's just not happening for me, but that's okay. Nothing under the sea is going in my mouth. It's gross to me. I'm very picky. I also don't eat like much turkey or beef either. I eat a lot of chicken. I'm kind of, yeah, I'm very limited these days because I'm just picky.
Chicken, you know, but since you like, at least since you like nuts, you get high, you know, fat on your diet and everything. Yes. So I got a good nut joke for you. Okay.
Okay.
All right. What did one nut say when he was chasing the other? I'm a cashew.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That was a good one. I'll give you that. That's a good dad joke.
All I have. I'm a dad, so I have dad jokes. But I think I've had dad jokes my whole life anyway, so they're always terrible. Yeah, my humor seems to sometimes like just boom, fly over people's head, but I know it was funny. All right. Mm-hmm. So, you know, whenever it comes to like little quirky things, you know, like you do, what would your boyfriend say would be a quirky thing that you do that he's always like, babe, you did this again?
Oh, I leave the cabinet doors open. Or like, yeah, drawer doors, cabinet doors, I just leave them open, and I don't know why I do that. It's like one of my worst habits.
Wow.
I'm also kind of unorganized. I'm an unorganized person. I don't want to say messy because I'm very clean, but I'm very unorganized. It's funny because in life, I'm pretty organized. Like, okay, I have this interview. I have this, and then this, and this, and this. I'm doing it on this day. But items, like being placed around everywhere, kind of unorganized. Yeah, I'm quite an unorganized person.
So the cabinet doors are open. That's like a nightmare. Like you get up at, you know, in the middle of the night and you're kind of hungry or thirsty, you're halfway asleep and walk into the kitchen and just like bam, smash your knee on something. Does that ever happen?
Not to me yet, but hopefully it doesn't.
Would you laugh if it happened to him?
I probably wouldn't laugh, but I would just be like, oh, my bad. You know, I wouldn't think much of it. He would probably take it like a dramatic. These guys are dramatic. Like, oh, I stubbed my toe. Oh, my God. It's like.
And you're like, tough it out.
Tough it out.
Tough it out.
That's right.
Growing up, were you one of the kids that were you like super tough? Were you super girly?
I was a tomboy. Oh, my gosh. I was such a tomboy. And I was a loner, too. A proud loner. Yeah, because you know what? I didn't care about anything but winning, and I did track. So my happiness revolved around gym class and track meets. I would love it. Nothing else mattered. I would sit alone in the cafeteria. I didn't care because I had a track meet that weekend, and I was about to win, and that's all I focused on. So that was me, and then I always wore, like, literally, I would wear boy clothes. Because I just wanted to be athletic and I wanted to be known as that athletic chick. And like literally before school, I would wear like muscle tees, like the kind that are like shorts that show a little delt because we couldn't wear it after my school. So like I wore those really tight ones around your arms. And I always made sure before I headed into school, I would come in with a pump, like get a good pump before school.
Oh my gosh, that's the most guyish thing I ever heard.
Yeah, just a little swole, you know? So that was that. And then in college, like, I did, like, a 180, and I was super girly. I still did track in college, but my style was so girly. I would wear high heels to school every day, hair extensions, fake nails, everything. It would take me so long to get ready. Skirts I would wear every day to college. Yeah, so I don't know. I just...
So when did you start dating guys? Like, at what age did you have like your first boyfriend or date?
College.
That's what I was thinking it's funny. I've never heard a girl was like, "Yeah, I'm gonna go." You know, let's say a women's physique competitor or something. Like, I'm gonna go get a good pump before I go out to the pool. You know, like that's a dude thing to do. I'm gonna go get a pump before we go out. And, you know, then you're there with a pump for 5 minutes and it goes away.
Yeah.
You know, like, what did you do? What, you showed up buffer than, you know, like, it's like when a girl does a real double take where they feel like they got catfished. Like, weren't you just like buffer 5 minutes ago? And you're like, yeah, I lost the pump. Yeah. Like something only a bodybuilder can understand. Like, oh, I totally get it. Go get some pushups, man.
Yeah. That's yeah, it's so funny. I don't know. I'm kind of in between now. Like, I'm way more girly now, but yeah.
Well, and you have a unique style too. You know, like you do like the bows in your hair, you know, like you have a very unique style. Do you get that from somewhere? You just like kind of just like, I do what I want.
You know, I think it's just, I love, I don't know, fun things. Like it, to me, like bows and ribbons are so fun. You know, color is fun. I love neons. I love colorful outfits. Like, I love trying to pull something off that nobody else could. You know what I mean? Because I think it kind of matches my personality sometimes if I'm feeling, like, bubbly and, like, energetic. I don't know. It just kind of goes with the vibe.
Yeah. Well, no, I mean, you have that vibe. That's one thing I always enjoyed watching you on stage. You always had such a really good, like, vibe about you. And the way you carried yourself, it was, like, you know, very confident. But and like fun though, like it was enjoyable. Mm-hmm. And you know, that was I feel like a big factor in the success you've had is your ability to have that intangible gift of captivating people with your energy.
I like that, because I'm definitely like, I find that, like, you know, nowadays especially, like, it's more of like a sexy kind of presentation where I'm like, oh, I cannot pull that off.
So you can't just, like, pull up sexy,
like, bouncy, like
you can't pull off sexy?
No.
You're like, no. I just do it on accident.
No,
it just comes natural.
No, I mean, if you look at somebody like compared to Janet versus me, our presentation style is so different. Like the way, you know, it's just big difference right there. Because I'm just like, I guess more athletic, fun, bubbly style. She's way more like sexy style than me.
Well, I noticed like this past year, you came in, I felt like you came in a little bit different than normal. I felt like you, I mean, like your glutes were nice and like full, not that they ever aren't, but like, I felt like your look just looked so much more like tailored and really like detail oriented. I really enjoyed your look. A bunch of people out here were all like, oh my God, she's going to win, because how much I felt like you just were so refined in every area. Mm-hmm. Kind of like, you know, you've been competitive your whole life on stuff. Like, where does that come from?
Well, it's, again, going back to, like, you know, the learning that I had to do. What I've struggled with in the previous years and, like, at the Arnold last year, too, is just I always have a habit, or not even a habit, but just the way my body is. My legs and glutes build a lot more than my upper body. So in order to be more symmetrical, I had to back off like really intense leg and glute training. And it's kind of like, oh no, not my glutes. But yeah, I had to downsize. I had to downsize a bit to make sure that my upper body matched my lower. So that's why it looked a little different than usual, but it was a good look. You know, I do like the more like bottom heavy look, but I understand it's a sport of symmetry. So.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think bikini, it stands in like a category of its own, because I would agree with you that for you to do well in bikini, your legs and lower body do have to be more developed than your upper body. You know, it's that way. Like, you have to have more, you know, bigger glutes. But if your glutes and your delts matched, like, you'd be in figure. You know what I mean? As far as size wise. So, you know, which, again, that's what makes bikini such a fickle little beast about, like, how do you pick the winner? You know, like, I would never want to be a judge ever, because I look at all of y'all and, you know, like, the Arnold was, you know, almost an Olympia lineup minus you. That was an Olympia lineup for sure. And like 1 through 5 all look incredible. You know, like, you couldn't, it's hard to really say, like, this one over this one, really.
Mm-hmm. That's so true. I think, like, you take any of those big shows and you look at, like, the top 5, and no one would have an argument why they shouldn't win. Anyone could win. It's kind of like if you're slightly off, or, you know, even, like, as you mentioned, being fickle, trying to get your body just the right way. if I'm even like 1 to 2 pounds off, I'm suddenly too soft. If I lose 2 pounds, I'm too hard now. So it's like right. That little sweet spot that is so hard to get, just, you know, not being too hard or too soft for me personally. But yeah, it's just like, man, these shows are, their talent is so deep that if you're even off slightly, that could be the difference between first and like eighth, you know?
Right. Even just slightly, which is wild, because, you know, like I came, you came from a sport where if you're fastest, you win. You know, I came from MMA and wrestling. So like, I'm going to knock you out, I win. You know, if I pin you, I win. And it's so definitive, you know, like you never knock someone out and then they're like, the other guy won. And you're like, what? How did that happen? Like, we changed the rules today. We were looking for the knocked out look, you know, like that never happens. And when you were talking about how competitors, when they first start, they're like, so I'm going to do my first show, I'm going to get nationally qualified, and then I'm going to go to nationals and get my pro card. And you're like, you're in for an ordeal, because it's just not that easy. And I also feel like one of the benefits that you had was not doing so well in the beginning, because whenever people win their first show, I always say it's like a death sentence, you know, like they think that's what's supposed to happen now. And it's this false thing where, you know, you went to a local show, like, great job. Like, no, you know, I'm not, you know, it's cool to win a show. It's really cool. Never doesn't feel good, but it sets you up a little bit different mentally, where you feel like that's what's supposed to happen.
Yeah. I can relate to that so much, even winning the Olympias. So it's kind of like, I always say there's one disadvantage of winning the Olympia, is it becomes like, that's the expected thing for you to do. And if you don't, then it's a failure. And I'm like, no, I didn't get worse. The talent got better. So I mean, in my opinion, look better than I did when I won the Olympia, the three years that I did, but the talent is just so much deeper. So it's kind of like, for me, I need to like set my goals. Like, you know what? I'm going to give my best. I realize it's gotten tougher and that's all I can do. And as long as I know that I put in everything and I did everything I could, then I'm fine with that. But I think some people like would, you know, for example, in 2018, when I got fifth at the Olympia, a lot of people were expecting me to win that show because I won 3 years and it was my comeback year. And then it was kind of like, I got a lot of like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. I'm, you know, this is sad, like to me. And I'm like, I'm not sad. Like, I'm so happy. I got fifth. That's awesome. But it was more like
fifth in the world.
Yeah.
Fifth in the world.
Yeah. But people, I mean, I guess coming from a good place, think that I would be devastated because I've, you know, lost what I had or something. But that wasn't the case. It's more like, you know, the competition got a lot tougher. So, yeah, I can definitely relate to that. And I think that it's good to keep things in perspective and know that, like, you know, kind of a roller coaster. Your journey is going to be a roller coaster. There's going to be ups. There's going to be downs. It's extremely rare for everyone just to have like this perfect climb to the top. You know what I mean? Even the best, they go down, they go up, they go down, they have a bat. You'll see in the pros, like one girl will get eighth at one show, a big show or a small show, whatever the case may be. It's still tough in the pros, but yeah, they'll get eighth at a pro show. The next week, literally in 7 days, they've won the show the next week. And then they got fourth at the next show, and then they got 12th, and then they got second. So it's kind of like you gotta put it in perspective and just realize that you're in for a roller coaster when you start competing.
Yes, I agree with you. You know, and it's not for everybody. It's really not. I always say that competitors usually have, on average, about a 2-year shelf life, where they do a show and then, you know, especially like in bikini. One thing I hate in bikini, I hate to hear this phrase, when they're like, they do a show, they weren't hard enough and they were like skinny fat, right? They did their first type of dieting. They probably use an entry level coach and they're like, I'm going to take some time off and go bulk. And you're like, first of all, your job on your first show is to be as lean as possible, you know, not like you can grow, but if you've never seen how lean you can get, then going and putting a bunch of fat on to pull that off and not learning how to be hard, you never figure that out. Like that, you miss that.
Yeah, that's a big mistake. I've made that mistake before when I was first competing. The whole, yeah, I need to put on muscle, so I got to bulk. much harder. It is much
bring the milk. Milk and beans. Bring it in my diet. That's like when I was training with Branch Warren for a show this past summer. You know, he's like talking to me about my diet, and he's like, all right, I want you to go have, let's do about 800 carbs today. And I was like, 800 carbs? 800? I was like, bro, what? How am I going to do 800 carbs? He's like, you're going to do it. And it's like, Branch Warren, what do you say to Branch? You know, you're like,
yeah.
You're like, all right. Yeah, that dude he's a wild man. Who's some of the, like, the most, as far as, you know, you've been around everybody in the world, like everybody, the best of the best. Who are some of your favorite people that you've come into contact with or had the most fun with? Like, who is somebody that we would not know is so cool?
Oh, that's hard to pinpoint. I don't know how to answer that. I know that the obvious answer, but everyone knows, I love being in the presence of my coach because he's extremely positive and we have good energy. We goof around, we have fun, but we work hard. I think that's pretty obvious. But like, as far as, you know, people that no one would know about, I mean, I will.
Or no, just people that people know about. People that people, you know about, you know, like, I'll take one, like Angelica Teixeira. I think she's one of the coolest, nicest people you could meet, and it's genuine.
Yes.
And not only that, her husband is a straight up killer. The dude is a black belt under the Gracies and he's a Navy SEAL.
Mm. So I will say this. She is such a sweetheart. Like you mentioned, you kind of feel things like a motherly, like true, like kindness in a way from some people. She's one that is extremely sweet and it shows. Like you don't even have to talk to her much to get that feeling of like, she's really like a nice person. I will say another person that I found to be quite like that is, her name is Yashira Robles. I hope I pronounced that right. I competed with her a few years ago, but she recently competed in the Arnold this year. She's another one that, you know, I never talked to her like a whole lot. I'm not gonna say I'm friends with her because she's more of an acquaintance, I guess. But I respect her so much and she's another one that's like, you can just, she's a sweetheart. Like you feel that like caring vibe from her. And I'm like, that's, you know, those people have like your best interest. Like as crazy as that sounds, like you can tell that they would genuinely care about you. But yeah, I would say those are two of the nicest competitors that I've ever met.
Yeah. Yeah. I've been able to talk to her quite a bit, Angelica. She's always like, you know, in the beginning, you're like, you're putting on a pretty good act. And then you're like, you realize that's just how she is, you know, and I'd always heard the same about you, like that you were just really fun and friendly. And, you know, you and I have never, ever even talked before. So this is like literally right now is the first time that we've ever spoken other than a quick phone call to say, hey, we're still good for this time. Cool. Click done. And, I had always heard that you were so much fun, that you were easy to talk to, and that it was just like a joy to be around you. So you have a really good reputation yourself, you know.
That's amazing to hear because I'm always like afraid that I come across like as a mean person backstage because my type of nervous, like, I don't know, the way I react to nervousness or like when I'm in the zone before I'm competing, I'm like so to myself, like I will be the lonely person in the corner just like listening to music. And I'm not so talkative because I'm like in my zone. So I'm always afraid like, man, I hope that they don't think I'm like being like, you know, a bitch. Because I'm not. I'm just like trying to get in my zone or whatever. Because I know some girls will be backstage like dancing with each other and like, you know, having that like energy. And I'm just like not, I'm the antisocial one. I guess it's the best way to describe it. I'm very antisocial before show. So that's good to hear that. So thank you.
Well, I think most people that they understand when it's backstage and you're competing, you know, that it's very different, you know. And I always, even with my own girls, whenever I give competitors advice, especially in bikini, I tell them you have to find your person, like this other alter ego that you can become when you hit the stage, because you have insecurities, like you can have a bad day, but this other person you can become doesn't. And, you know, I'd always use my example would be, you know, as an MMA fighter, before I fought, like, I'm always fun and nice and like I love to play around, but like the day before, all of a sudden, like, I'm not the same person. Mm-hmm. You know, like that personality change happens. And so I think most people that have done sports understand that, especially super competitive people, like, it's not that I'm being rude to you. It's just like, I got shit to do today, you know? it's time to go win something, you know? Mm-hmm. I think people get that. But, you know, more so it's, I think it's the opposite is what's really said about you, is that, you know, a lot of people can be, like, nice when they're in the spotlight and stuff like that. But as soon as, like, the door shuts and you know people like this and you see who they really are, you're like, wow, like, you're not as cool as you acted like at all, you know? For you, I've always heard that, like, mainly outside of this, like outside of competing, really, that, like, you know, people who are your fan, they see you at somewhere, that you're just always really inviting.
Oh, that's good to hear. Yay. I'm doing something right. Yes.
Doing something right. You're winning Olympias and, you know, being top five in the world nonstop. If you believe you're doing something right. You know, like, whenever it comes to, like, your personal life, you know, How do you deal with your career, balancing everything, having a personal life? I mean, you do so many things. You know, like, it's a good thing you can be organized with your schedule, because you're a busy lady.
Yeah, I mean, not so much lately, but when I am, like, in competition mode and back to the regular life, I'm pretty busy. I've never really had a problem with balancing it. But I have friends that are very understanding of, like, okay, she's prepping, she's not going to go out for drinks with us. You know what I mean? Actually, my current friends now are basically all former competitors, so they totally get it. And my boyfriend is a former competitor as well. So it's kind of like, we all get it, you know. If anything, I get kind of distant when I get closer to a show, like less social, I guess you could say. But I've never really had a problem with balancing, you know, everything else in my life, thankfully.
You know, balancing for a show, I mean, our sport is a very selfish sport. I mean, it is what it is, right? Like, you have to really be concerned about everything. And there's just no way around it. And, you know, you're just like, I have to eat at this time. I have to do this at this time. And like you said, that 1-2% difference of you coming in this way versus this way can be eighth place or first place, you know, like, that's especially at your level, mm-hmm. you know, which is cool that you have such a good ability to be competitive and still yet fun. Like, you can be, like, realistic with, if you don't win something, you don't, like, cry and go nuts. You know, like, I've seen some people do whenever we're backstage and you're like, you're a professional, like, you should act like one.
Yeah. Well, you know, something I always said, like, this sport has given me so much. I've gone way farther than I ever thought I would. I've surprised myself so many times. I've had so many great opportunities because of this sport. You know, I went above and beyond my wildest dreams. So I always said, like, no matter what happens with competing from here on out, I can't be mad. Like, I can't be mad. Look at the journey I had. Like, I can't be mad. No matter what. No matter what. Because this has given me so much, and I'm going to continue with it as long as I can. So, you know, perspective.
What would you say of all your memories since you started competing? What would you say is, like, the one you cherish the most?
Oh gosh, my first Olympia win, because it was so, so, so unexpected. Like,
yeah,
I was such an underdog, and I literally, you know, a lot of people might say, yeah, happy to be there. I was happy to be there. But no, here's the thing about me. I'm an extremely realistic person. And I set my goals to be challenging, but realistic. I think that's the biggest. When you set your goals too high, in you're bound to not achieve them for the most part. So
yeah.
I always set little baby goals. And then when I achieve that, I get a little, you know, bigger goal and a bigger goal. So, you know, when I stepped on stage at my first Olympia, like, I was literally starstruck just to be there. Like, oh my God, I'm competing with all these girls that, like, that girl was on the cover of the magazine last month. And that girl, oh my God, she won that show. Oh my God. Like, I was like, you know, happy to literally be there. And Like, and then I was like, you know, if I got top 10 though, like, whoa, I would be the happiest girl in the whole world if I got top 10. That would be some crazy stuff. But hey, I'm just happy to be there. And like the when they did the call outs after prejudging, I was convinced, like they did three of us in the first call out, and I was convinced like they're doing this like the opposite way. This
they're doing it in reverse.
Us, like, I'm not gonna get my hopes up. I think they're, you know, just doing it to entertain the crowd, you know. Maybe this was actually the last call out, but they called us first just to switch things up. And I was like, you know, that was my thought process. So even when I was going into finals, like it hit me when they started calling like my call out, like third and second. I'm like, wait a minute, I'm in this call out and they're calling them third and second. And then I'm like, oh my God, wait a minute. There's no way. So then I realized like, oh my God, that's crazy. And then I remember when they called, I still get goosebumps. I'm getting goosebumps right now.
That's
they called
awesome.
Me on stage and I was like, I started bawling because it was just like so unexpected for me. I was such an underdog. No one even looked at me that wasn't a judge. Does that make sense? Like no one expected me to win. No one, you know, when the predictions came out, no one mentioned me. I didn't expect anybody to mention me. I wouldn't have mentioned myself either. I was a rookie. That was my first year as like at the Olympia. Like it was crazy, but I won. Against all odds, you know? So it was an insane rush of emotion. And then I like cried on stage. It was the happiest girl ever.
That's so awesome. That's such a cool story. You know, I feel like more people should have some kind of a feeling like that, where you go out and you try something you definitely don't think you could do, and you succeed. You know, like more people should be able to feel what that's like, because it's a once you have it, like it's addictive, you know, and you're like, oh my gosh, I need this. It's a drug. Like if you could package that up in a pill or, you know, and like sell that, people would like, they would buy that.
Yes. I always say the best feeling in the world isn't necessarily to achieve a goal. It's to exceed the goal, you know, and I'm not a pessimistic person. I'm a realistic person. So I think people that like expect to win and go in saying, yeah, I'm going to win. And when they do win, it's like, well, you know, I expected that. So if the rush isn't there or isn't as intense. But whenever you say, you know, I'm going to try my best. If I can get in the top, then that's great. And then you meet that goal and exceed it. It's like so much better.
It's such a cool feeling. I love that. You know, as before we wrap things up, there's a couple of last things I want to ask you. So I brought in one of my competitors that's on my own team. I call her my team captain.
Okay.
Tana. All right. So I wanted her to listen to this too, because she's funny and always has good things to say. So she sent me some things that she wanted me to ask you. Okay.
Okay.
All right. So as far as like all of your girlfriends, you know, I know you said you were a loner. Do you have more girlfriends that are in the sport or out of the sport? Who are you more likely to hang out with?
Oh, girls that are in the sport or have been in the sport, like retired competitors, just because I can relate to them more and they can understand more. I just tend to gravitate to those friends a lot more.
Yeah. All right. What about any talents that people don't know you can do? Because I feel like you are one that would have a goofy one. You'd be like, I can do this.
Yes, actually.
How did I know?
I'm so glad I can do this. See, look.
See where did that? You figure that out at? Is that from competing and doing cardio so long you just start doing stuff?
Probably. I'm a pro.
So whenever we see you on America's Got Talent, you're in a bikini, we're going to be like, no, 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 it's not what you think. And then all of a sudden it's going to be.
See? It's how you're going to look.
Yeah, but I've got like broken hands and stuff. You know, my hands are like, they're like a 80-year-old man's where they crack and. They're gross now. They're not good at all. They're awful. So whenever you're not in the gym, I mean, I know your hobbies really include like documentaries, you know, shopping for groceries, you know, like most people's things that they do of like their chores. Like, oh my God, I got to go grocery shopping, which right now is a pain. I got in trouble for walking the wrong way down the aisle the other day.
Oh man.
And I mean, I'm always nice to people. I really am. I'm always nice to people. It takes a lot to get under my skin. And when this lady said something to me, I was like, I couldn't help it. I was like, oh, and I said something kind of
too much,
kind of mean, you know. I was like, anyway, I was like,
no, I'm glad you stand up for yourself, because some people, it's too much. Like, chill.
I was like, so if I I'm going the same direction as you and I pass you, am I any less than if I'm going the opposite direction and pass you? She's like, it's the policy, sir. And I was like, well, let me tell you about your dumb policies. then all of a sudden the redneck voice comes out. I'm like, let me tell you about what's going on here. All right. Here in Texas, it's okay. All right. You need to go back where you came from. All right. So outside of the gym, tell me some fun stuff you do.
You know, honestly, the grocery shopping, going back to that, I will say this. What's more fun than grocery shopping is grocery shopping in a different country, because you get to see all the food that we don't have that they have. It is so cool. But I do
like what?
Food. Like, oh, what? You know, like different candies, and sometimes you'll even find different healthy foods, and just how they eat, and how, I don't know, it's just seeing eggs just in the open that aren't refrigerated. Like, what? That's crazy, but very intriguing. You know, just little things like that. I love grocery shopping in different countries, or going to different, like how in LA they'll have grocery stores that are like Japanese grocery store or whatever it may be. Those are always fun. Those are way more fun than regular grocery stores. Although I do love grocery stores. I like cooking.
I've never heard of a woman that loved the grocery store. That's like never happened. Dude, never.
I love grocery shop. I can grocery shop for hours. It's fun.
So if you were single and a guy wanted to take you on a date, and he was like, look, you have your choice, okay? You can either get dressed up super fancy and I'll take you out to a really nice restaurant and it'll be diet friendly, or let's go grocery shopping. Like, we'll go to a couple stores, you know?
I would so love grocery shopping. I don't like fancy restaurants. Like, I don't know about you, but I like to lick the plate. I don't like people looking at me when I lick the plate. I feel like I have to be somebody else at a fancy restaurant. Like, you know,
it's
gotta be so.
Oh my God. Lick the plate.
Yeah. Of course, that's the best part.
Oh my gosh. I broke up with a girl because she took her, this girl was really, really, really good looking. And she took her on a date and took her to a steak restaurant. She ordered a hamburger with ketchup. I'll never forget that. And she starts like breaking it apart and putting it in her mouth with like some ketchup running down her fingers, and I was like, this is the first and last date, never happening again. I couldn't do that. If she had started licking the plate, I don't know, I'd have been like, whew, next time we'll go to the sizzler, you know, we'll go somewhere else.
I mean, she could at least cut it if she's gonna do that. That's a little messy, but like when you lick the plate, it's you know, you're cleaning the plate, so it's totally different, right?
Oh,
I think the fanciest I'll go is like Cheesecake Factory. Anything fancier than Cheesecake Factory is a little out of my realm. I just can't adapt, and I just feel uncomfortable. So yeah.
That's crazy. And you're out there in LA where it's like, you know, everybody's like bougie, you know. I only have one bougie quality. Like I really do. I don't have expensive anything. I only have one bougie one, and that's, I like expensive wine. That's literally the only thing. That's my only thing. Anything else, like, I'm good with. I don't pay full price for things. What are you bougie on?
My living space. It's really expensive here, but I value security. I value atmosphere. And, that's what I splurge on. It's L.A. It's, compared to, like, Ohio, you know, the rent here is way more.
Oh yeah. I was driving through whenever I was in LA a little less than a year ago, and they were pointing out houses and they're like, that one's $500,000. I was like, that's $500,000. It's not even livable.
Yeah.
And it's like $500,000. And you know, the other thing is it's like the homelessness out there. That's a wild deal. How do you deal with that?
Well, yeah, that is crazy. It's crazy that, my rent is so expensive, yet you're seeing two extremes. I have had experiences with homeless people here because my area is touristy, so they tend to congregate in touristy areas. You know, I've had somebody follow me for a while, like a crazy homeless person. follow me, like, all the way to my friend's house that was, like, 6 blocks away. Felt a little unsafe. Last month, there was a group of homeless people playing with a taser by Starbucks. That was a little concerning. But, yeah, other than that, like, you know, they're all around, but you can't, not much you can do about it at this point. It is crazy, though. It's like a, when you think about it, like the two ends of the extreme kind of deal, how LA is so expensive with housing, yet the other end is there is so much poverty. It's crazy.
Yeah. No, and the political landscape is there is completely different. You know, yeah. Like here's, you know, one thing I love about Texas, okay? One thing I just love is that if we had millions of homeless people walking around and we felt threatened, we carry guns in Texas. That's how we roll, you know? Like I'm almost always packing.
Yeah. And
it's a good feeling. I saw this street, so like where I live, it's everybody just kind of does their own thing. Like nobody cares what you do. There's just like this misconception that Texas people are like, you know, hardcore, like religious and like they're judgmental. Well, I live in like where the, you know, there's places in the city they still like have cattle in the streets and stuff, you know, and you can still ride horses in the streets and nobody's judgmental over there. I saw this very flamboyantly dressed gay guy. I mean, flamboyant, had like a, like almost his shirt was cut so thin. It was like almost like a stringer. And he had like these little shorts on and there was a gun in his back pocket sitting in the restaurant. And I was like, that's Texas right there. Like, we all carry guns over here, you know?
Yeah. Wow. What a big culture shock if we all went there. That is crazy.
Well, I tell you what, whenever you come to Texas next time, I tell you what, I'll take you shooting with my girls. All right. You can shoot like a fully automatic gun. Like I'll let you shoot all mine. I take my girls.
Oh my God. I hate that. I had my CCW in Ohio. I'm terrified. Terrified.
Why are you terrified?
Terrified. Even holding it. I'm terrified. Because I remember we had to take the class for it, and I injured my thumbnail because of something with the trigger snapback.
How in one conversation did you say you went from, like, the manliest thing I ever heard a girl say to, like, what, you know, like the typical girly thing you hear him say? You're like, I would go do pumps before I go to school. The delts are on point. And then the next thing you say is, so shooting a gun, I broke my nail. Like, I'm just done with this. I'm just over it. I go home.
It was like bloody. But hey, I don't need guns if I have these kind of guns, right? You know, these ones. So.
Yeah. Well, when you come in, all right, you can feel free to take me up on it. I teach my girls how to do it. It's safe. All right. It just, we'll have some fun. All right.
I would rather rock climb or something else that's, I guess.
Oh my God. You. No, we don't rock climb in Texas. Did you see the mountains in Texas?
No, but there's
hiking
stuff and boulder walls. I don't know.
No, you can like walk up a hill, you know. You're not like, if somebody was like, I'm an extreme athlete, I do rock climbing in Texas, I'd be like, where? Like where? They're like, exactly. You ain't that hardcore, you know?
Mm-hmm, true.
Well, when you come in, I definitely would love to bring you guys out, do something fun, get it on video. That could be a fun deal. You know, whenever travel bans are lifted and stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Hopefully it goes back to normal soon. Jeez.
So as of today here in Texas, Colleyville, the city that's next to me right now, in my office, is open. Everything.
Oh, that's so good.
We're open in everything. You know,
that's a good sign. Yeah, not so much in California. We don't even have a date, so.
No.
It's so frustrating.
Yeah, it is frustrating. And I know a lot of people out there that are frustrated with a lot of things, which is a big reason why you see a big mass immigration to Texas from there.
Makes sense.
It's funny whenever, like, you know, y'all's rent out there, like a cheap rent out there is like $2,000. You know, that's like a cheap spot, you know, $1,500. You could find that's like super cheap, you know, and here in Texas, $2,000. You're like, you realize what you can get for even $2,000 a month?
Yeah, they're mostly here more than that. I don't even think there's a place in my apartment complex that's less than $3,000. But yeah, it's insane. I need to be more responsible. I think next year I'll move. But like, yeah, It is safe, though. I will say, I do feel extremely safe.
Well, that's where you should feel, especially being Miss, Miss Olympia, the beauty Ashley Kaltwasser, with a great personality. You know, I appreciate you being willing to come on here. I know that, you said you're not as busy now, but I know you're still busy. It's just you're busy compared to most is different. So I appreciate you coming on here.
Thanks for having me. And this was fun. And it was nice to add in some fun questions rather than the typical, how do you train type deal. So,
yeah, if I want to know that, honestly, you know what I would do? I wouldn't read any more interviews about you. I'll tell you that much. But I would just go to your Instagram and I just watch you train, because you give that all out for free. I mean, people know that. It's one thing I wanted to do with this series that I've got coming up. I've got a bunch of other Olympians coming on, but you were actually my first competitor that I brought on for this series. So it's awesome. I want to make sure people got to see what y'all are like. That's a big thing I think that this industry is missing, is that they only care about what you see. And what's more important is what you don't see. I know a lot of these top level people, like Brandon Curry, one of the nicest, he's such a good dude. He's a good man. And people like you, you're fun, you're sweet, and people should know that about you.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I agree. And I think with fitness, we're often shy to, I guess, show our personality. You'll always see people post about their food, but they'll never post about things they like or more personality based content. So this is cool. I like it.
Yeah, no, I agree. Well, I look forward to trying to have you back on another time. And then the next time that we're in the same spot at a show, definitely get a good interview with you and be able to show people what you like at work and not just chilling at home.
Yes, I like it.
All right. Thanks a lot, Ashley. I'm